Say nighty night. All right.
I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order and invite everybody to join us in a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk Markham, can you give us a roll call of the Planning Commission?
Commissioner Miller?
Present.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Here.
Commissioner Chapman?
Here.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Here.
And Chair Smith is absent.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the public forum. This is an opportunity that if anybody from the public would like to speak on any item that is not on tonight's agenda, this is the time to go ahead and submit a speaker slip and come forward to give your public comment. Do we have any speakers for public forum tonight?
Vice Chair Maynard, I do not have any speaker slips. And if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay. Not seeing any hands raised in the audience or on Zoom, we'll go ahead and move forward. Now we'll check for any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda. Director Imhoff, do we have any amendments?
Madam Vice Chair, we have no amendments or adjustments, but I would like to take the opportunity to introduce our new Planning Commission clerk, Caitlin Collier, who's sitting at the dais next to Blake Markham, and we're very excited to have her join us. Today is her first day, so she's jumping in with both feet into the deep end, and we look forward to working with her going forward as our assistant with all things related to the Planning Commission.
Welcome. We're glad to have you tonight. With that, we'll go on to the public hearing. Clerk Markham, could you read item A1 into the record?
That is item A1, General Plan Conformity Determination for the vacation of roadway and landscape/slope easements and acceptance of road easements adjacent to Los Carneros Road and Calle Corral, adjacent to the Heritage Ridge project site.
Wonderful. And will we have a presentation by Ms. Chang tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Vice Chair Maynard, I think Commissioner Chapman has a conflict of interest statement he would like to provide.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. I have a potential conflict of interest under the Political Reform Act relating to the Heritage Ridge property that is subject to this item and the next item of the agenda, given proximity to my personal residence. As a result, I'm going to recuse myself from the two matters. Thank you.
We'll give a moment for Commissioner Chapman to go ahead and move to the other room before we move forward. All right, so we'll move forward with a presentation by staff, then we'll ask the remaining commissioners for their disclosures, and then we'll take questions from the commission, then open it up for public comment, and proceed with the process from there. So we'll go ahead and invite Ms. Chang to present.
Thank you. Good evening, Vice Chair Maynard and commissioners. So the item before you tonight is for a general plan conformity determination. It's for the vacation of roadway and easements and acceptance of road easements adjacent to Los Caneros Road and Calle Corral, adjacent and within the Heritage Ridge project site. So before I get going on this particular specific item, I do want to provide some background and context. I believe that Commissioner Miller was not in this review process for this project and also for the benefit of the public. I'll talk a little bit about the overall project, which is the Heritage Ridge Residential Project. It composes of 332 residential units. Of within that number is 104 affordable housing units and 228 market rate apartment units. Also within the project site will be a 2-acre public park that'll be dedicated to the city and constructed by the developer, which will be your next item on the agenda. So this project, the Heritage Ridge Project, came before the Planning Commission 3 times last year. And in November of last year, you made a recommendation to the City Council for approval of the project and also to certify the CEQA EIR. And ultimately, the City Council did approve the project, adopt the EIR in March of this year. This item is for roadway exchange, and it was before the Planning Commission last year got approved. And after it was approved, there was a public letter submitted by the Southwest Regional Council of Carpenters asserting that the agenda title and project description violated the Brown Act, and also that the notice of exemption that we had prepared for this item was inappropriate. So we brought this item back to you to rescind that action, and knowing that we will be ultimately coming back after we review the comment that was received. So I'm going to share screen, show the map of the right-of-way exchange. So this shows the overall Heritage Ridge site, and the yellow would be the area that will be abandoned by the city, or call it a vacation, and then there's the blue, sort of turquoise blue, that will be dedicated to this, acquired by the city for future right-of-way improvements on Los Caneros. So basically, this is the item that's before you. It requires a general plan conformity determination or finding pursuant to section 65402 of the government code, and finding that, well, I'm going to go into the environmental process here. So when we looked at this, we realized that really there was no further environmental review required because none of the conditions in Public Resource Code Section 21166 or the state CEQA guidelines are triggered by the general plan conformity finding that this Planning Commission is being asked to make. So we're bringing this item back to you to approve this component as part of the overall Heritage Ridge project, and the recommendation is that you find that this the abandonment and also the roadway easement exchange conforms with the city general plan pursuant to government code 65402, and that no further environmental review is required by the public resource code section 21166 and CEQA guidelines. I think that's kind of I know it's a quick overview, but the item itself is pretty simple, and we wanted to just highlight the project, just to let you know that the Heritage Ridge project is undergoing some construction activity. You'll be seeing some soil export from the site soon, followed by grading, and then eventually building construction. There is also a final map that needs to be recorded. So that's the status of the project, and this is a necessary component to keep the project, you know, moving. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or give more background if you would like.
Let's take a moment to do disclosures of the Planning Commission, and then we can open up for questions of the Planning Commission, then we'll go to public comment, and then we'll bring it back after public comment for additional questions from the Planning Commission, then go into deliberation. Is that an okay process for you? Okay. So let's go to disclosures. Clerk Markham, can you lead us through kind of a roll call to do disclosures?
Commissioner Miller.
I have no, I have no disclosures.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Are we doing disclosures just for the overall Heritage Ridge project? Okay, so let me.
This is for ex parte communications you may have had with anybody about this project.
About
outside
this
of this hearing,
agenda,
yes.
Agenda or the Heritage Ridge overall?
No, this item.
About this item.
This item? Yeah. Okay, then I have no ex parte communications.
And Vice Chair Maynard.
I disclosed my ex parte communications prior to the last meeting on Heritage Ridge, and I have had no additional ex parte communications since that hearing. And now I'll take questions from the Planning Commission for staff. I just had one clarifying question. With the easements along Los Caneros, is there any overlap between those and some of the wildlife corridors that we'd planned into the project on that side of the property?
There is a wildlife corridor. It's I don't know. I don't believe that's a part of the blue that's highlighted that you see. Is that correct? It's hard to show this with this graphic. Okay. Yeah, I don't believe so.
Thank you. Not seeing any additional questions from the commissioners, let's go ahead to public comment, and then there'll be an opportunity after public comment for any additional questions from commissioners.
Vice Chair Maynard, I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. I don't see any hands raised.
Would then anybody from the audience like to speak? Okay, not seeing any. Any other questions from the commissioners? All right. Would anybody like to make a motion on this item? Oh, actually, I will close the public hearing. Getting out of practice here. So I will close the public hearing, and now I'm open to hearing motions.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 23- entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, reporting that the vacation of roadway and landscape slope easements and acceptance of roadway easements adjacent to Los Carneros Road and Calle Coral is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan pursuant to Section 65402 of the Government Code and finding no further environmental review is required pursuant to Public Resources Code Section 21166 and CEQA Guideline Section 15162, Attachment 1. Do I need to make the second part too?
Yeah, I believe so.
And also to make a determination that no further environmental review is required for Resolution 23- pursuant to the Public Resources Code Section 21166 and State CEQA Guidelines Section 15162.
Do I have a second?
I second.
So let's go, Clerk Markham, if you can take us in a roll call vote of the commission.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Maynard?
Yes. And remember to lock your votes. Okay. So it looks like it passes unanimously. So we will move to the next item on the agenda. Clerk Markham, can you read the next item on the agenda, item A2?
That is item A2, general plan conformity determination for the acquisition of approximately 1.85 acre park parcel and approximately 0.15 acres of a public access easement for a neighborhood park at Heritage Ridge Apartment Project.
Okay, so we'll use the same process for this one, having a presentation by staff, then any disclosures, questions from the commission, public comment, any additional questions from the commission, and then we'll deliberate and vote. So let's go to Ms. Chang.
Okay, thank you, Vice Chair Maynard and commissioners. So this is a pretty much an identical process to the last item that you just acted on. Within the Heritage Ridge Project, as I mentioned earlier, there is an approximately 2-acre public park that will be dedicated to the city. 1.84, but approximately acre park parcel that will be dedicated with an easement for some parking spaces that's right along the park. Again, same process. It came to the Planning Commission, got approved, the public comment from the Carpenters Union was that it violated the Brown Act with the title and project description and that the notice of exemption that we prepared was inaccurate. So we brought this item also back to you to rescind that action, and here we are again. tonight to ask you the same format that you find a general plan consistency with code government code 65402, and that no further CEQA is required. I just want to talk a little bit about the parks to give you an update since the last time you saw it in November. It did go to the city council, and there were three options that were considered, and ultimately it was the original design that the local Chumash group was engaged in this process and ultimately was very happy with the park design. There's still some equipment and other things that we're sort of working with the applicant. They are going back to the design review board for the overall project, including the park, for landscaping, architectural design, and lighting. That will be scheduled for October 24th. So that's coming up, and then that will complete the design process of the project, assuming it goes one time, it could be continued. And but you know, the applicant has worked really hard trying to get that park in a place where most are pleased about it. So just wanted to give you that update. But again, here we are. We are asking you to make that conformance determination and find that no further environmental review is required for the acquisition of this park.
Thank you for that presentation. Let's go through. Should we do disclosures again separately? So if Clerk Markham can take us through disclosures again.
Commissioner Miller.
I have no ex parte communications.
Commissioner Fullerton.
No ex parte communications.
And Vice Chair Maynard.
I reported my ex parte communications at the last meeting on Heritage Ridge, and I have no additional ex parte communications to report since the last meeting where I publicly reported those. Now we will take questions from the commission. Okay.
This is for staff. Can you please pull up the graphic or the map again of the site and just kind of let us know where the park is located within that?
I apologize. I forgot to share a screen here. Yeah.
So this is lot 3 that you're that's shown on the map.
That's correct. What you see on this map it's the existing lots. They're going to be combined or divided into 4 lots. To the left will be lots 1 and 2 for the affordable units. Lot 3 is the park, and then towards sort of the north and northeast would be the market rate 228 units. But this is existing. It hasn't been recorded with those 4 lots yet, but we're showing lot 3 outlined here.
Okay, and then the access to the park will be from Camino Vista?
Camino Vista, yes.
Okay. And the parking spaces will be located along the Camino Vista area of the lot?
It's actually located, if you see that sort of indent on the left side of the outline, that will be where the parking spaces are.
Okay.
13 parking spaces.
13, okay. And are any of those parking spaces going to be restricted for any particular entity or person, or are there any restrictions on those parking spaces?
It's meant for public parking, and the only real enforcement we have will be with signage.
Okay, I think that answers all my questions. Thank you.
Not seeing additional questions, we'll go ahead to public comment.
Vice Chair Maynard, I do not have any speaker slips, but if any members of the Zoom webinar wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I don't see any hands raised at this time.
All right, with that, we'll go ahead. Well, first we'll check and see, are there any additional questions from either commissioners? Okay. So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, and now we'll go to deliberation, and or I would accept a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we adopt Resolution 23- entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, reporting that the acquisition of approximately 1.85 acre parcel for neighborhood park uses and approximately 0.15 acres of a public access easement for a neighborhood park for park uses within the Heritage Ridge development, paren lot 3 of the approved Heritage Ridge parcel map, close paren, located on the north side of Camino Visto Drive between Cali Corral and Arrow Camino, is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan / Coastal Land Use Plan pursuant to section 65402 of the Government Code, and finding no further environmental review is required pursuant to Public Resources Code section 21166 and CEQA Guidelines section 15162, attachment 1. And also make a determination that no further environmental review is required for Resolution 23- pursuant to Public Resources Code section 21166 and State CEQA Guidelines section 15162.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Clerk Markham, can you take us in a roll call vote?
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Maynard?
Yes, and if everyone could lock your votes. All right, so with unanimous support, we'll move forward with that and go on to item A3. I believe we're gonna do some staffing switches here.
And Vice Chair Maynard, I believe Ms. Prossy is bringing Commissioner Chapman back for the third item. There he is.
All right, Clerk Markham, can you read A3 into the agenda?
Item A3, Santa Barbara Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan, General Plan, and Title 17 Zoning Amendments and CEQA Exemption.
Wonder so for this one, we'll do presentations by staff. It looks like we have Ms. Wells and Mr. Newkirk here. We don't need to do disclosures on this one. And then we'll take questions from commissioner, public comments, additional questions from commission. We'll close the public hearing and then go into deliberation and motions. Is that acceptable? Great. So let's go ahead and welcome a presentation by Ms. Wells and Mr. Newkirk.
Great. Good evening and welcome to this public hearing for General Plan and Title 17 amendments to incorporate the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan into our policy and zoning regulations. I'm Advanced Planning Manager Ann Wells, and I'm accompanied by Andy Newkirk, Supervising Senior Planner. And we also have on the Zoom Nick Johnson. He's our aviation consultant. And so if there's anything of technical that you, a question that you have about the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan, then he can answer those questions. So tonight we're gonna, you know, review in more detail the scope of the amendments and the changes that we're proposing to the General Plan and Title 17. And I wanted to emphasize that the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan, or before it was the Airport Land Use Plan, was a 20-year-old document, and so the new one replaces it. 20 years old, yeah. How did that? It took us 10 years to revise the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan. It was challenging, and the reason it was challenging is because there's multiple airports involved, and there's a lot of regulations. There's federal regulations or state regulations. And so it has to get approved through the FAA, through Caltrans, and SBCAG, Santa Barbara County Association of Governments, is the entity that oversees the project. And so it goes through this analysis and this true up, and we really did an overhaul of that very old plan that we were working with before that was embedded in our general plan, and now we're proposing to update. So I'm saying this because we're truing up our general plan and zoning with an adopted regional airport kind of plan. And as opposed to what we normally do is the opposite. So that's the scope of our project tonight is, you know, truing our policy and regulations up with what was adopted by SBCAG. And we were part of that project to update the ALUCP. We're just gonna go with that acronym because it's shorter. It's clunky, but it works. Our focus was to make sure that our land uses were not gonna be non-conforming as a result of changing the standards, because that airport does affect most of our city, or all of our city, really. But the zones really can affect those land uses. And so when, 10 years ago when we started out on the project, the way you implement the federal and the state regulations have a pretty broad range of requirements. So you can go on either end of the range. And we just had to make sure and work with all the other airports and the county and the city of Santa Barbara, the airport, through SBCAG to make sure that we could hold on to our land uses that we have in place today. And we did that. So again, that plan was adopted, and now we are incorporating it into our policy and zoning regulations. So before we, just a couple admin items. In your packet tonight, the amendments, of course, are explained in detail in the staff report, and then they're also, the amendments are included in the attachment one exhibits, and there's also the usual track change version, and that's in attachment two to the staff report. And we also attached the airport land use compatibility plan for your reference. We didn't include the maps, but the link is included online, so you can reference it there. And then the CEQA exemption is an attachment for it. And we received, right before the meeting, we received two public comments about the same thing. They're project site specific, asking for land use and zoning changes for various reasons. They're not included in our project description for this hearing. Current planning is aware of the request, and they'll work with the commenter on that. So I did just want to make you aware that we did get those two public comments before the meeting. So if we can go to the next slide. The format is presented on this slide, and I think the Vice Chair, you already kind of covered the typical public hearing format. So I'll just skip the details. And this airport land use compatibility plan, you really haven't touched on the airport land use compatibility plan. The City Council has. So we've updated them at regular intervals during the preparation of the ALUCP, and we didn't update you, so you're probably not familiar with these acronyms, and they're listed up on the screen. I won't go through them, but I just wanted to make sure that you have quick access to some terms that we'll be using in the presentation, and maybe the ALUC, or the Airport Land Use Commission, is SBCAG board, and that one we'll talk about in a little bit more detail in the presentation. And so the background, I'm going to hand the slide over to Andy Newkirk. He was brought in to take the adopted ALUCP. He didn't work on the preparation of it. I've been here from the beginning on this project. He took it and then teased out what required updating in our general plan, and then what required updating or new stuff for our zoning. And so that was a good way to do it, neutrally, not caught up in the weeds of the ALUCP. And also, he'll talk about this a little bit more too, was transmitting it to SBCAG for their review. So we went through a lot to get here tonight, and we have the fresh eyes that are on it with Mr. Newkirk, And he's going to walk you through this background and spare me from reliving the last 10, 13 years working on this document. So thank you. And all right, here we go.
Thanks, Ann. Vice Chair Maynard and Planning Commissioners. So Ann kind of covered some of this material, but we just wanted to highlight that this, to get here, was a long iterative process in which the city staff was heavily engaged. So we want to, although it hasn't been presented to you before, kind of reinforce the fact that this has been a long process to get here. So this update, again, we have the old ALUP from 1993, and a project began in 2010 to update that old plan. And one big item is the 2011 Caltrans guidelines. So this provided kind of an outline of the range of regulations that could be included in the ALUCP. So that was a really, that Caltrans document was a really guiding document in the preparation of the ALUCP. So there was a draft in 2012, and there's back and forth, the city commented back then, and then there was a bit of a pause in the project while there was additional funding was being sought by SBCAG. So that kind of, the project ramped back up 2018, 2019, and there was a CEQA document prepared for the draft ALUCP, and revisions to that 2012 draft were also made, in which we commented on heavily. There's a postponement in adoption, and then that ALUCP and the CEQA documentation was updated in 2022. And then the ALUC, again, the Airport Land Use Commission, who's the responsible agent party to adopt an ALUCP, but also is the SBCAG board, adopted that ALUCP in January of this year. So again, a long process, and the city was involved really heavily, really in 10 plus years of development of this plan, and making sure that we could implement the ALUCP appropriately in the city. And I will note that what's not on here, but that is going on essentially in parallel to this Planning Commission consideration, is we have to take these amendments to the ALUC as well. Prior to us having the kind of the authority to implement the ALUCP, they have to review and essentially bless our revisions, determining that they're compliant with the ALUCP. So that's in process. It went to an advisory committee of staff of local jurisdictions and agencies within the county last week. SBCAG staff recommended a finding of conformity with no amendments, and that's what the advisory committee recommended to the ALUC as well. So we're expecting to go to the ALUC next week for that determination prior to anything going to council. That has to be completed prior to council's consideration, but we feel like we're in a pretty good spot with that staff determination at this point. So getting into a little bit of a summary of the ALUCP, again, it's in the packet, less the appendices, but the appendices are also on the SBCAG website. And so that's attachment 3 to the staff report. So the introduction, kind of your basic introductory elements, one thing of note is there's some definitions in that chapter 1 that we pulled into our zoning regulations, mostly verbatim, with just minor tweaks that we needed to make sense for our local zoning. Chapter 2 has a fair amount of procedures, goes into things like navigation easements, when a property needs to have an navigation easement, and that's defined in the regulations that we prepared, and then when ALUC review is required. So there's some instances, even moving forward, I should step back, until we adopt compliant policies and regulations, almost everything within the city development-wise has to go to the ALUC for review. So we need to kind of get that review authority. And then even once we do that, some projects, particularly like things when we're rezoning a site, there are certain things that will still need to go to the ALUC, and other things like a specific plan amendment. So that recent specific plan amendment went to the ALUC, but even in the future, that type of change would still need to go back. But it's much more limited once we get over this kind of determination from the ALUC and adoption of the updated policies. Chapter 3 goes into the airport policies, and kind of the big items here are noise and safety compatibility. So this is where, beyond our regulations, we have to make determinations consistent to ALUCP based on safety and noise considerations. And I'll kind of show you a little bit what that looks like. in subsequent slides. And then there's also federal compliance. So we have the Caltrans handbook that guides the ALUCP preparation, but there are also federal regulations that we need to adhere to. So the ALUCP lays out those requirements. We tend to refer to them as Part 77 requirements. And then things like overflight notifications and disclosure, real estate disclosures. It's pretty standard stuff that we've had in our code, actually, in some form that just needs revising. And then Chapter 4 is the maps. So we've pulled in some of that information into our own maps, and we'll show you those as well. So the noise and safety regulations, they're laid out really well in the ALUCP. These are just snippets of two tables, kind of giving you an idea of what they look like. And you'll see subsequent maps. So essentially, in each one of these tables, they'll have different land uses as a row. And then in the columns are different noise exposures in Table 3.1 and safety considerations in Table 3.2. And this table basically lays out whether the use is compatible. So if it's green, if it's in that area, it's okay, it's compliant. If it's yellow, it's conditionally consistent, and there may need to be some mitigation, like conditioning of the project. And if it's red, it's incompatible, and that use couldn't go in that area. And so we spent a lot of time looking at these things and trying to line up the uses pretty well with our own zoning uses, so that's really easy for the public and the planner who's reviewing a project to look at these tables and make a clear determination whether something's compatible, conditionally compatible, or incompatible. So we'll look at the noise. And I should say one thing. These requirements apply to new uses in development. So as Anne mentioned, one of the things we're concerned about was creating nonconformities. So we're not doing that tonight, or not doing that with our with our policies and regulations, because they'll apply when new projects come in. So it does not create that nonconformity with adoption of these changes. So again, looking at that noise table, you see the exposure ranges and then the use, whether it's compatible, incompatible, et cetera. And so on this next slide, you see these noise contours. So they range from 60 to 75 plus. And so essentially what you look at is what range is a parcel in, and then you go back to that table, what's the use, and you kind of line it up and you look at the cell to determine if it's compatible or not. And then safety zones, a similar approach. We have there's these six zones, and so you look in that tape, you'd look at a site, identify which of the six zones, if any, it's in, and then go back to that table and look at the use row for in that zone and determine whether it's an allowed use or not. So that's how those will get used in the future. And so what, you know, one of the big pieces of our amendments are updating our policies and regulations, because currently in our general plan and zoning regulations, we have different noise contours and different safety zones. So one of the big changes, we're updating our maps and references to reference the new noise contours and these new safety zones. So kind of why we're here, what we're doing. The first piece is we need to update our general plan to be consistent with an adopted ALUCP. That's a state planning law requirement. So fundamentally, that means we have to amend our general plan to get up to date with the ALUCP. And then the trickle-down effect is the city's zoning must be consistent with the general plan, so we're going to amend the zoning ordinance as well to align it with the general plan that was amended seconds earlier. So rather than delay and have to come back for another round of hearings, we're just doing it all together. So kind of briefly touching on the amendments, again, the project description here is just to align with the ALUCP, so the edits are pretty narrow in scope. So you'll see that in the track change versions. In some instances, it's simply changing a reference from ALUP to ALUCP, that type of amendment. But there are amendments to the land use element, particularly LU 3.3 and LU 4.4. They kind of have outdated references. Sometimes you'll see in our policies and regulations reference to safety and approach zones. Those are two old safety zones. The new references are to zones 1 through 6, the safety zones. So that's like one of the changes there. And there's a lot of amendments to the safety element to reflect those changes and requirements and references, as well as to Figure 5-3, other hazards. So that includes the old safety zone, approach zone, and this 1 mile marker, which are all referencing the 1993 kind of safety considerations. And then also in the noise element, there's references in NE 3.3 and NE 3.4 to the old ALUP, so those got updated as well. And then we updated figure 9-4, which is the noise contours we apply, to reflect the ALUCP noise contours, which are updated from the 1993 plan. So in terms of Title 17 amendments, we already have in Title 17 an overlay for airport environs, and that was prepared for the new zoning ordinance to reflect the safety zones of the 1993 ALUP. So again, we're updating that, simply taking those safety zones from the ALUCP and putting them in our own document for our public to be able to understand. We added a new review authority section to make it clear when in the future a project will still need to go forward to the ALUC and when the city will process. Again, updated references, and then also the noise and safety standard references in the ALUCP are included. We essentially incorporate those tables by reference rather than kind of trying to copy and paste that whole thing. It's already pretty user-friendly. We think it works better to simply reference the application of Chapter 3 rather than try to regurgitate it all. We think that that's an approach we often take with some other documents, rules, and requirements rather than try to restate everything. But also, we made it clear in the regulations, here's where you look to make it really clear. You have to apply this section of the ALUCP for safety considerations. And then, as you can see, we just took a cutout updating the zoning overlay district's map because of the update to the safety zones, which were previously reflected as the clear approach, 1 mile marker, et cetera. So that's a summary. You know, certainly happy to talk about any of the amendments proposed. But again, we're really focused on just a kind of clean update to reference the ALUCP and keep that scope pretty narrow. We prepared a notice of exemption. We're already applying the ALUCP. We're obligated to be consistent under state law. So we don't see this really as a project for CEQA purposes. And even if so, there's no possibility of a significant effect on the environment. The ALUCP was already analyzed for environmental impacts. And so that work has been done, and we are just implementing it at this point. So at this point, that ends our presentation. We're happy to certainly answer any questions you have at this point.
Any questions from commissioners?
Okay. Well, this whole thing is incredibly meaty, so it's hard to zero in on a specific question other than this, as you said, that this whole airport noise and safety thing does affect our city. And I'm just trying to, get my arms around how does this mean if we incorporate these things, all of these guidelines and new laws and new maps and everything into our zoning requirements and general plan, is that somehow going to allow for our city then to just sort of have to throw up their arms even more and deal with more noise and more safety issues as far as our land is concerned, and specifically as far as like our housing element that we've been working on and continue to work on, that we have all these projects that we hope to, incorporate into the city in the next 10 years and 10, 12 years. And I'm just, for the public's sake and for my own sake, how does this affect all of these other plans that we have for our city? And I realize that's probably not something we have a lot of choice on, but it just for, just to be able to, for transparency purposes, is incorporating all of these new things into our general plan and zoning requirements, zoning codes, is it something greater than we're already used to having, for lack of a better way of explaining it, and give that a try.
Vice Chair Maynard and Commissioner Miller, I'll start by just, we're required to do this update because of state law. And so we're already mandated to do that. But I think you're kind of talking a little bit more broadly about the fact that our city is wrapped around another city's airport, and they really affect us. What they do at the airport affects, most of our city. And so that's what one of the things that we spent so much time with the plan on was we tried to true it up to balance safety with protecting our land uses. We can't, in the airport land use compatibility plan, for example, change what they do at the airport. We can't change the kind of planes they have. We can't change when they can fly in and fly out. That's not the purpose of the plan, so we can't do that. But we can true up the safety standards with our land uses. And so by incorporating them into our general plan and our zoning, we're, aligning the documents. We are, and from that perspective, we are making it more transparent and therefore hopefully a little bit safer from that perspective, because we're using the current regulations that are established in the Caltrans handbook and FAA. And as far as the other topic of the aircraft noise and all of those things, those are kind of a different, it's a different creature. And Nick Johnson, who is our aviation consultant, he helps us also with aircraft noise. And we work on that project kind of separately outside of the scope of the ALUCP that's really regulated in a different way. So I think that... Peter Imhoff has something to add to this, is we spend a lot of time, obviously, working with our neighbor and at the airport, and a lot of our conversations with the airport have evolved over the last few years.
Commissioner Miller, I would just add that the airport land use compatibility plan does impose constraints on future development. So the safety zones limit where certain development, especially residential development, especially intensive development, can happen. Those constraints were taken into account, in particular in the development of the housing element. And as Ms. Wells indicated, we engaged at the SBCAG staff level very intensely in understanding the scope of this plan and the impacts on the city of Goleta. One thing that to note, you asked, is there anything that's different than what we have now? And there is one change. So as Mr. Newkirk noted, there was a new handbook adopted by Caltrans for airport land use compatibility planning in 2011, and that changed the geometry of the safety zones from what exists now. So that is reflected on the ground, and that was a big focus of our attention as we reviewed the SBCAG staff plan and worked with SBCAG staff on that to understand exactly what the implications were for land use in the city of Goleta. And then the other thing that I would just note, echoing what Ms. Wells said, is that on the noise issue in particular, so right now we have been engaging with Santa Barbara Airport staff on the airport operations so that we can help to reduce noise issues on the operations side. This, the SBCAG plan, and hence our zoning, reflects what the operations are. So the noise contours are based on the noise that the airport generates, and those impose constraints on development too. What kind of development can happen? So noise-sensitive development is limited when it's in close proximity to the airport within the highest noise contours, but it is reactive to the airport operations. So the way we're addressing the noise issues that are affecting our community, and for that matter, actually, City of Santa Barbara residents as well, is to engage directly with City of Santa Barbara airport staff and work toward that. And in fact, we've made a lot of progress. As you may be aware, we had a workshop last December with the City Council where Airport staff under Director Chris Hastert came to this hearing room and talked with us and with the City Council and showed a real openness and level of willingness to address some of the issues that are affecting us. There was an exchange of correspondence where our mayor sent a letter summarizing the work of that workshop, outlining 13 strategies that we sought for the City of Santa Barbara to address. And just last month, Mayor Rouse of the City of Santa Barbara replied, indicating that they did give direction and are giving direction to the airport staff to develop an airport noise action plan incorporating the vast majority of the strategies that we requested. So we're making real progress. There is work to do. The City of Santa Barbara will have to do an updated Part 150 noise study, among other things, which will be the basis for some of the re-looking at, for example, flight pathways that they recommend for aircraft approaching and leaving the airport. But we're hopeful that through continued collaboration with the City of Santa Barbara and airport staff that we're going to make real progress on that. So I hope that kind of fleshes out the issues, because I think the issues that your question touched on are very real issues for the city. And we're optimistic that we'll be able to really make inroads on the noise issue on the one hand, and then we feel pretty confident and comfortable with the safety zones such as they are, given the 2011 handbook that we can work with those. I want to acknowledge advanced planning staff for the huge amount of effort that this has represented on all fronts, and to approach this in a comprehensive way where all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, especially housing element and airport land use constraints.
So I've got Commissioner Fullerton, then Commissioner Chapman. So Commissioner Fullerton? No, Commissioner Chapman?
So I had a question about sort of the timing of things. So you've submitted these same exact proposed changes to the ALUC, and they have to approve them before the City Council could approve these changes. I guess, is there still a chance that they could reject those changes and it would come back to us before to make recommendations to City Council again if we were to approve these changes tonight?
Commissioner Chapman, I think, first off, I think we're confident in moving forward with the ALUC, so we hope we don't get that scenario. I think we'd have to just reassess the scope of any changes that were required of the ALUC before determining the next steps, whether it would be straight to council or coming back here. But I think we would cross that bridge when we got there, but we're confident, especially with the SBCAG recommendation and the TAC, again, the staff level review of the representative agencies in SBCAG, that will have a positive outcome on the 17th.
Okay, thanks. And I've also got a question about the language and one of the specific changes. It's the review authority section in the Title 17. There's language in there that says that the review authority has authority granted to the ALUC. What does that mean in that section?
Commissioner Chapman, there's in the ALUCP, there's a couple sections where, like, the ALOC itself, there's authority granted the ALOC as the reviewer for projects. So this is just making clear that where there's references in the ALUCP for ALOC to make certain decisions, when we are the review authority, we can make those decisions. It's just kind of tying up a loose end in the, because in the ALUCP, it doesn't say the ALUC or the designated agency. So just make clear that the authorities granted to the ALOC are also going to be granted to us when we are the only review authority, when a project doesn't go to the ALOC.
I see. And so, and then it's specified otherwise what types of projects have to go to them.
Commissioner Chapman, that's right. The ALUCP lists out kind of in some detail when projects will need to go forward. So again, we just reference, rather than restate everything, we reference, you know, when pursuant to the ALUCP, something needs to go, it needs to go. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right, and then until the City Council, if they were to adopt these changes and they were approved, every single project has to be sent to them?
So there's some new nuance to that, but okay. Most projects do. Most new development projects, most will currently have to go, regardless of whether there's a legislative action or not. Mm-hmm. The big difference, you know, in the future would be, it'd be much limited to certain legislative actions. Where now, if, you know, if you're, you know, in one of the like zone four or something, you might need to go to the ALUC for a pretty small development. Right.
And that's basically because the whole city is in within one of the safety zones.
Well, yeah, and it's actually like the trigger is whether you're in the airport influence area. And the whole city, so even right now, it's limited to that review as to one of the safety zones right now, but it's a lot of the city would still need to get that added level of review that we want to have control over.
That's all for now. Thank you very much.
Any additional questions from commissioners? Okay, let's go to public comment, and then we'll have another opportunity for commissioners to ask questions after public comment.
Vice Chair Maynard, I do not have any speaker slips, but if any members of the Zoom webinar wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I don't see any hands raised at this time.
If anybody present would like to speak, feel free to come up. Please feel free to come to the dais. And if you haven't filled out a speaker slip, if you can just do so after you come to the dais, that'd be great.
Commissioner Miller, I am very thankful for your comments. The noise factor is unbearable, and thus we are here this evening to express that to you. I have lived in this community since the mid-70s. I purchased my condominium at 546 Mills Way, in Meadow Tree, in the late 70s, early 80s. The noise is, it wakes me up every morning at 5:15. I give thanks whenever they take off on a different runway to take off, that they don't come over my home. And they take me to sleep every night at 11:30. But at the same time, I solely love that airport. And my husband and I only fly in and out of Santa Barbara. I'm here, I've never attended nor stood up to speak, but it really affects my life. So I'm not alone. I just hope that when you do take into consideration any expansion, that you take into consideration us that have lived here for a very long time, and we need peace. We need quiet, and there has to be a way to be able to change the type of aircraft that take off. I'm concerned about opening up with Delta. I'm hearing in 2024, Delta will be flying in and out of the airport. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. So thank you for hearing my comments.
Thank you for your public comment. If you could also come to the clerk just to fill out a speaker slip real quick, thank you. Are there any other public comments tonight? Okay. Seeing no other public comments and no new ones have come into Zoom, Clerk Markham?
There are no hands raised on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. So we'll take it back to additional questions from the Planning Commission, and then once we're through it, any additional questions will go to deliberation discussion. Are there any remaining questions from the Planning Commission? Commissioner Chapman?
Yeah, I just had a question about kind of more broadly. Did the changes in the definitions of the safety zones, the actual geometry of the safety zones and the noise contours, did that sort of affect any of the sort of land use plans of the city, or is that sort of kind of, you know, already been accounted for in making the document?
So, Commissioner Chapman, city staff and I may be able to want to add to this. You know, certainly looked at the changes in geometry and kind of looking at, is there a significant net difference? I can note, like, on a housing front, there weren't significant changes. We used to have a clear zone, which is now essentially zone one, and an approach zone, which is a little bit wider, And there's a 1 mile marker, which is now gone. Fundamentally, a lot of that area wasn't zoned like for housing, where now, you know, under the old plan and the new plan, you know, housing is limited or at lower densities. But a lot of that has been the case for quite a long time. Like if you look west of the runway, you have Cabrillo Business Park, which is designed with the proximity of the airport in mind. And then in South Old Town, you have industrial zoning, which is less dense, non-residential, not zoned for residential, and, you know, doesn't have the massing of people that maybe some other uses have. So a lot of our kind of land use considerations historically have been with the airport and the safety in mind. So there may be some changes on the margins, you know, where the geometry has changed a little bit, but not profoundly different.
Great, thank you.
I'll ask a few questions. With the changes in the maps that we're doing here, my understanding is this is primarily to capture what is happening today. The changes we're creating would not necessarily allow for more noise, but it's a recognition of the noise that is already happening. Would you see that to be correct?
I would say, so the contours are future noise contours, so it's a projection, but it is based on, like it was previously made, it wasn't even developed explicitly for the ALUCP, so it's not like a brand new map. It's newer than the 1993 version. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it is looking out prospectively, but certainly things can change mm-hmm. between now and that future, you know, mapped contours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not necessarily a static thing, but it's kind of what we have to work with and what the document, what SBCAG had to work with when they were preparing the updated plan.
Can you just talk through a little bit of just sort of the decision-making process of, so like if we're looking at future projections, those future projections are based on the ALUCP process or a separate process, and what was the public engagement in that separate process to determine those expansions of use?
I'm Vice Chair Maynard, the way the ALUCP incorporates the noise contours in particular are using a methodology that forecasts based on a Santa Barbara Airport document. That's their master plan, and I think it was 2014. And Nick Johnson can add more if you want some more detail on that, on those projections, and that the airport is in the process of updating their master plan. And as a commenter noted, that's, you know, potentially where you might see changes in proposals with the runways or with the types of aircraft and those kinds of things. And we're working with the airport and we're commenting on those documents separately. But those are, they're two separate things. And then we would potentially be looking at another airport land use compatibility plan update, which would be a big project in and of itself. So that's kind of, let's separate that for a second and go back to the new adopted ALUCP and the noise contours, which were used from the Santa Barbara Airport Airport Master Plan. And Nick, do you want to add anything to that or add any clarifications to what I said about the noise contours and how the noise contours are modeled?
Thank you, Anne. So you nailed it perfectly. You know, it is based on the forecast within the previous Airport Master Plan for Santa Barbara Airport. And just a little bit of further information related to the overall process as to how is the public engaged in coming up with that, to your question, Commissioner. So the Airport Master Plan is in the process of being updated right now. And once that update is complete and there is a new forecast, state law for airport land use compatibility requires that the airport land use compatibility plan reflect the 20-year plan for the airport. And so it's always looking out ahead over the long term. And the reason for that, as you can imagine, as a planning document, is to ensure that it's reflective of what that future impact would look like and is also vetted publicly. Again, back to your question, through that public process. So it's that airport master planning public process that brings those, particularly the noise contours forward. I think Anne also mentioned a little while ago that the airport is also talking about engaging in a noise study, a specific noise study associated with the airport. That's usually not the set of contours that would be involved with doing airport land use compatibility, because they're usually shorter term in nature. They're very specific to operational changes, as Mr. Imhoff had pointed out earlier. So it's really that master planning process for the airport that sets the mold for those long-term noise contours. And again, is hopefully in line with the long-term land use patterns of the community. And it's really about trying, you know, this whole planning process is really about trying to find that balance point between the two. And so that's a little bit more depth. If you have further questions, happy to answer them.
I have a couple of quick follow-ups. So if this is based on the master plan that's in 2014, what's causing the change, changes to the noise profile and diagrams today if the new master plan hasn't been approved? Like, what's the thing that changed it if this is based on 2014 master plan?
The city of Santa Barbara Airport hasn't released it. They just started their draft master plan process.
I guess, why are we doing the changes today? Like, what caused the changes that we're looking at today since we haven't started the new master plan process yet?
Because when we adopted the airport land use compatibility plan, when SBCAG adopted the airport land use compatibility plan back in January, the master plan process hadn't kicked off yet. So we were using the adopted master plan that was in effect at the time. So
Chair Maynard, just to add to that, so the change is from the 1993 plan, right? So the 1993 plan was very dated, and the noise contours in that were way out of date. And the noise contours in this plan are based on an updated noise study that happened, much more recently.
Okay. So this is still future projections based on the 2014 plan, but then updated with a recent noise study completed.
Correct.
Okay. I'm caught up now.
let me clarify. So there is no recent noise study that was included in the ALUCP. That was based on 2014. I think what Mr. Johnson was explaining was kind of the difference between these like short-term models versus that long-term projection or the mold that he explained in the airport master plan. So what we're looking at tonight is like literally the modeled forecast from 2014 that the airport used that then SBCAG embedded in the ALUCP.
So we're primarily updating from the 1993 to the 2014 model. Is that right?
Yeah, because it's if you think about it, the ALUCP includes lots of different sources. For noise, the source is the 2014 master plan.
Okay. I'm just getting a little confused since 2014 was so long ago. I'm surprised we're updating to 2014 now. But I think I got it.
If I could that, just to help with that. So that even in the 2014, it was a 20-year forecast. That was the basis of that. So it's always, you know, well out into the future projection, as the basis for it. Just for clarification on that, it was a 20-year forecast beyond that 2014 timeframe.
Okay. And then my second question, and I know this is a little bit outside of this meeting, but with the public here tonight, I think it's a relevant question. The most recent Santa Barbara Airport master planning process, what is the best way for the public to be involved and give feedback on the current developing process for that?
So that the public should get on the airport's website and then sign up for notifications so that they can get emails just like they would for ours, for the city of Goleta's. Projects, for example, the housing element, you can sign up for email notifications, and you can do the same thing for the airports, and that would be the Santa Barbara Airport, or you can look it up in the city of Santa Barbara, and that will get you to their sign up list.
And I know a lot of what we're doing tonight is sort of just coming back up to compliance. You talked about it as sort of truing to decisions that have been already made in some of the earlier processes. You also alluded to the fact that it's always a little awkward, right? So we have an airport that's managed by City of Santa Barbara, and then we're City of Goleta, which surrounds that. So it can be hard sometimes as a Goleta citizen to advocate in a City of Santa Barbara meeting where we're not, it's not our elected officials there. Is there a part of the new Santa Barbara Airport master planning process where the Planning Commission or the City Council will have an opportunity to vote, or like how could, yeah, is there a way that our citizens can give feedback to elected officials in Goleta that would affect this new master plan process, or is that not possible because it's all running through City of Santa Barbara? Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think any feedback that the public has for airport projects or mm-hmm. UCSB projects or county mm-hmm. projects that go to our elected officials mm-hmm. Get relayed eventually over to staff. And then, I think it's important to also go directly mm-hmm. to the source so that they can hear it firsthand. And, you know, for example, they really want noise mm-hmm. complaints directly at the airport. And so we have a link on our website. Mm-hmm. For folks that don't know that it's not the Goleta Airport, it's the Santa Barbara Airport, mm-hmm. the City of Santa Barbara. So we have, you know, so that they can get all of the noise complaints specifically and log them and evaluate them. So it's super important. And so anyway, the comments on the master plan, I think to our elected officials, mm-hmm. we will hear about those. I think it's important. And then also to the City of Santa Barbara directly.
That's very helpful. Thank
Vice
you.
Chair Maynard, I think it's worth adding that as part of our recent engagement with City of Santa Barbara, the City of Santa Barbara has agreed to form a noise action working group, and that will have representation by from City of Goleta in some fashion on it. We don't know yet what that is, but as that forms, that information will get out there, and that will be another opportunity for engagement for residents of the City of Goleta. But as Ms. Wells indicated, at this point, they can go directly to the City of Santa Barbara, participate in airport commission meetings, participate in city council meetings. And there is a very, I think, constructive and healthy dialogue going on between the two cities now where our interests are broadly aligned because, again, residents of the City of Santa Barbara are affected by the noise almost as much as residents of the City of Goleta.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Are there any other questions from commissioners? All right. Okay. Go for it, Commissioner Miller.
So maybe this is a bit more of a comment than a question, but if somebody could tell me whether I'm on the right line.
We will go to deliberation in a moment. So if you,
okay, yeah. maybe I'll wait.
Okay. Any other questions or clarification questions? All right, so we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and we'll kick it into deliberation with Commissioner Miller starting us off in deliberation.
Okay, I guess what I wanna make sure, and I want the public to understand as well, is that by the Planning Commission here in Goleta, you know, voting in favor of this resolution to amend these laws to make them compatible with our general plan and with our zoning code, that we are not giving the airport carte blanche to, you know, make our lives more difficult here in Goleta with the noise and the safety and mostly the noise. So I understand that we have to do this because it's state law, and that makes perfect sense to me. And because of this unusual situation, as long as, you know, we can somehow make it clear that, that we are, you know, supporting this resolution because it's necessary to do so and to keep businesses running and the airport running and Goleta running and City of Santa Barbara running and the whole thing. So, but we all still have a concern about the noise and the safety, and we are not necessarily advocating for that to go up or anything, but we just are trying to make everything work better. And I think what Ann Wells said about, you know, that perhaps even this will either will actually maybe protect the city of Goleta more by having these new elements in the you know, the city plan and the zoning requirements. So it'll be more transparent. So I am in support of it because, you know, we have to do it, and perhaps in a good way, or maybe the good thing is that, yeah, it will protect us more. And so we can go forward with our housing element, which is what I'm most concerned about at this point with the airport. Okay, thanks.
Deliberation from other commissioners? Commissioner Fullerton?
Yeah, so I agree with Commissioner Miller. All we're doing here today is making the general plan and the and our, you know, zoning code consistent with the law. So it's very technical. It's hopefully not going to affect anything that's happening at the airport. And I do encourage everybody to, like you mentioned, attend the Santa Barbara meetings, you know, contact the Santa Barbara representatives, because ultimately they're the ones making the decision. So I encourage everyone to speak up, and I encourage the city to spread the word as much as possible. I didn't know there was a link to file noise reports through the City of Goleta website. I think that's great, and I think even if the city could help pop spread the word when there are meetings to get the word out, I think that would be helpful as well. But I do support this because I think we have to do it.
Commissioner Chapman, do you have any comments?
I just want to compliment staff on the changes to Title 17. I think removing a lot of the sort of redundant references and sort of cross-referencing to the document, I think, adds a lot of clarity for anybody who's using this. And so I think that that is a really good side effect of these changes and a good thing to do. That's all.
I will also compliment Stefan that I think we got some really good clarifications tonight, both from our presenters and from Director Imhoff about some of the great work that's been happening in open dialogue between Goleta and Santa Barbara. I was really excited to get the additional information about the action plan, and I had heard about some of the requests we'd made to the City of Santa Barbara, but I hadn't heard about the City of Santa Barbara's mayor's response yet, so that's really exciting that they're going to be accepting a lot of our requests and working towards a lot of our requests around noise management as well. So I do encourage folks to continue both sharing your views with the City of Santa Barbara, but also with our elected officials on our City Council, because we've already seen our City Council taking some really strong action in terms of collaboration and advocacy with the City of Santa Barbara. So let's continue those open dialogues. My understanding is with what we're voting on tonight, we are not creating any new allowances for noise. We are just connecting our general plan with what has already been agreed in other public processes. So with that, I'm also comfortable moving forward with supporting this tonight, and continue and look forward to future conversations with the City of Goleta Council and with City of Santa Barbara around this issue. I'll be certainly be tracking the new master plan for the Santa Barbara Airport as well. Any additional deliberation? Okay. If Clerk Markham could lead us in a roll call vote. Oh, actually, sorry, I guess we need a motion. Sorry, motion, anybody?
I actually do have one more sort of question.
I
meant to bring this up earlier. It may be something easy to resolve, but on the resolution that we have here, is it a mistake that it says after the statements, That therefore be resolved by the City Council of the City of Goleta. Shouldn't that say Planning Commission? It's page 11 of the staff report.
Commissioner Chapman, that's correct. That was an oversight. So I don't know if you want to include that in your motion, that clarification.
Okay, yeah, if that's possible to do.
Do you go ahead and make the motion with correction?
Sure, yeah. I'd like to make a motion. A resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending that the City Council adopt amendments to the City of Goleta General Plan / Coastal Plan Land Use Plan and Title 17 Zoning of Goleta Municipal Code to ensure consistency with the Santa Barbara Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan and determine the actions to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Sections 15060C3, 15378B5, and 15061B3. Case numbers 220001 GPA 23003 ORD, with the change that the from now therefore be resolved by the City Council of the City of Goleta as follows, to be changed to now therefore to be resolved by the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta as follows.
Can I get a second? And Commissioner Fullerton?
I'll second.
Now we'll go to a roll call vote by Clerk Markham.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Chapman?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Maynard?
Yes. With that, if everybody can cast and lock their vote. All right, so with that, and unanimous support for A3, we will move forward with the planning director's comments. Director Imhoff, do you have anything to share tonight?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Maynard. A few things to share. One is that 2 weekends ago, we had the Lemon Festival here in the City of Goleta. It was a huge success, great turnout, beautiful weather, and there is a wonderful summary highlight video on the website, the city's website, if you'd like to relive the experience. Tomorrow from noon to 1, we have a Lunch and Learn, which will focus on Powered Up Goleta, a new program which the City of Goleta is partnering on that will make possible rooftop solar and battery storage for residences and businesses in the City of Goleta. And we encourage all to attend. There's more information on the city's website. Then this Sunday, October 15th, I wanted to alert you and the public to an event at Rancho La Patera and the Stowe House, a Legal Aid Foundation Chowder Fest. And although this is not a city event, I thought I would highlight it since Chair Smith is not here today, and she is the executive director of Legal Aid Foundation and made us aware of that event. So we want to make you aware as well. The Legal Aid Foundation is the only civil legal aid organization directly serving Southern Santa Barbara County and City of Goleta residents, and they need our support. Coming up, our next meeting will be on October 23rd, where we will discuss and you will review the Santa Barbara Humane Project. Then on November 13th, the housing element we project will be coming back to you for revisions and associated rezones. And then we will not have a second meeting in November, no meeting on November 27th. So we will see you back here on October 23rd. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you, Director Imhoff. Do we have any comments from the Planning Commission? All right. I also attended the Lemon Festival, and it was a fabulous event. I really thank the city for putting on such a wonderful activity for our community. I actually just had some family move into town, and they were very impressed at how welcoming Goleta was for their family. With that, I will ask Clerk Markham to lead us in a roll call. Oh, actually, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, Clerk Markham, can you leave us in a roll call vote for adjournment?
And commissioners, please remember to lock in your votes. Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Chapman?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Maynard?
Yes. And with that, we've adjourned.